Blog Talk Radio.
And then want to really understand who he is and how he is. Then you start singing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I open up my heart. Can you just do that today? That's all we ask today, is that we gather together and we just open up our hearts to the Lord. Just open up your heart. Whatever is going on right now, just open up your heart to the Lord. Don't you want to praise Him? Don't you just want to worship Him today? This is I, your sister, your friend, evangelist, Von Dumas, and I am coming just to open up the doors so we can all just open up the gateways of heaven and let God just rain down on us, just shower us with His love and just fulfill us with His glory and all the things that we would need. We just thank Him for it. We just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we receive it right now. Right now, Jesus, we receive it. We thank you, Lord Jesus. So wherever you're at right now, whatever you're doing right now, whether it is present or this is in the future, you've been in archives and God has directed your heart to come and hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I right now cancel out any debt, anything that is coming between you and the word that God has for you right now. It is something pressuring you, hindering you, trying to block you from the word. But I stand in the word right now in the presence of Jesus Christ by the anointing that He's bestowed upon me right now, that you will receive, you will believe it, and you will walk in the word that He's going to give you right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Let's have our scripture so we can get into the word. Hallelujah. Right now we're going to have our scripture from Sister Tatiana. Tatiana, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Go ahead with your scripture, sweetheart.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. And I'm done.
Thank you, Jesus, for the reader of the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How important that is. We have to believe that word. He said he instructs us that this is how we shall pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, and may our hearts receive that word and keep it with us daily. Hallelujah. You say you're a new believer. You say that you don't know how to pray. There you go. The word has just been given to us exactly. Sister Tatiana, can you give us that scripture where it came from again?
Yes, ma'am. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we also will forgive our debtors. And lead us to temptation, but deliver us from evil ones.
And where did you find that scripture?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, sister, I thank you so much. God bless you and keep you. God bless you and keep you. All right. We're going to go ahead and open up with a prayer. I ask that anything that you have in your hearts right now, anything that's been heavy laden on your heart, anything that is coming before you that you have coming up in the near future that you have, you're worried about, or you're not, your spirit is just not settled with, and you know that it's something that should be done, that could be done, and you know that God is your only answer, and you've looked in all other ways, but you're just not feeling worthy to put this in the hands of the doctor, or put this in the hands of your lawyer, or put this in the hands of your friends or your family, but you know that it is Jesus who's going to be the only one that's going to be able to truly see you through that situation. We ask it right now. You put that thing on your heart. You put that thing on your lips. And right now in your mind, block out everything else that has happened today. Block out everything else that is going on. You right there who's waiting on that spouse. Let's just put it to the top of your mind right now. Let's put it on the tip of your tongue, and we're going to call it out to the Lord right now. You with that sickness, that illness, it just won't go away. We ask you to touch your body right now. And let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That he do what he can only do. That he can heal you. That he can set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Most Holy Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that thy kingdom may come and thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. And then give us this day and our daily bread. And then forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then we ask you to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evilness of this world. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power. Thine has all the glory, not just now, but forever and evermore. We come to you, dear Father. We come to you, dear Father, with heavy laden, things that are laid heavy on our hearts. Dear Father, we come to you, dear Father, with praise on our lips. We rejoice, dear Father. We rejoice in, dear Father, through our pain, through our misunderstanding. We're rejoicing, dear Father, through sorrow, through grieving. We're still rejoicing, dear Father. We're still praising you. We're still lifting you up. And we come to you, dear Father, with our heads bowed down because we honor you. Dear Father, because we respect you, because we know that you, there is none like you. And you said that we can bring our request to you. Dear Father, we come with many requests tonight, dear Father. Some are sick. Some are just confused. Some are afraid. Some are tired of just waiting, dear Father, for the answers to their questions. Some, dear Father, are lonely. Some, dear Father, right now is in the midst of suicidal thoughts. Somebody right now just don't have any peace in their heart. Somebody, dear Father, is incarcerated but not inside of a jail. Some, dear Father, is inside of a jail but more freer than the one that's out on the street. Somebody right now, dear Father, feel like that they have waited and they haven't found the answer, so they're taking it and getting ready to take matters in their own hands. And they want to do things now their way, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, we bring them before you right now at the altar. We bring all of these things before you, Jesus, at the altar. Dear Father, someone's at a crossroad with their ministry right now. Not for sure which way to go. Someone's afraid to take that step forward in the ministry. Dear Father, someone is just sitting down and saying, I'm quitting. I'm not doing it anymore. Touch their hearts, Jesus. Reveal the way to them, dear Father. Show us, dear Father, the way that you see us. Show us, dear Father, the beauty that you see inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. And, dear Father, I ask that you reveal strength. Build us up, dear Father, with your strength. Remove all the wickedness, dear Father, out of our hearts. Remove all the deceitfulness out of our minds. All the fornication out of our hearts. All the adultery out of our hearts. Dear Father, and anything else that you find inside of us that is not of you. Dear Father, we invite you to come inside and destroy it right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to fill us up with your divine anointing. And may your anointing set us on our course for the assignment of our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that I may decrease and your mighty love may increase. Pour out your spirit on your people right now, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we not just hear the word, but may we live the word from this day forward. You said if we hear, then we're responsible to live it. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, and your darling son. Amen. 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 Leave your problems there now. We don't want to take them. We left them. We've taken them to the altar. Leave them there. Expect a change. Expect a miracle. You look different. You should feel different. And you just watch as time goes on. Each day, each hour, just keep on bringing them more. Anytime that the enemy tries to tell you, bring that thought or whatever you just took to the Lord, that he tries to still afflict you or throw mud at you with that, just take it back to the altar. Remember how the sister Tatiana told us that God told us in his word how we should pray. Bring your prayers and your requests to the Lord and leave them there. And he will take care of it. And he will strengthen you where you're weak. And you'll find yourself that you're not dwelling on that same thing as time goes on. But God is occupying your mind with different things of the word, of how sweet he is, of his plans that he has for you. I dare you to open your heart and open your mind. Open your hands and reach out and work for the Lord. Do something for him. He's a good God. What have you done for God today? How are you serving God today? He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He touched your family members. He protected your family members. He's going to be the one that's going to keep you and hold you right now during your time of bereavement. Because you can't make it by yourself. This is a hard time for some people right now. We ask blessings over the family in Louisiana and the drowning victims. Oh, God, bless them. Comfort their hearts. Send your Father your mighty presence all around them. It's only you that can take them through this. And all around the world, people are grieving. But you say you are the comforter. So we can bring that request to you also. Hallelujah. How do you repay God for standing up for you and being that comforter? Hallelujah. Praise him even though you don't understand why these things happen. Praise him and worship him even though you know that you said if you could have done it, you'd have did it differently. But even though you don't understand him, just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's not take life for granted. While we are here and we're working for the Lord, while we're here, we must work because we all have a divine assignment. See, it's not just my assignment, but you have a divine assignment. Whether you believe in God, whether you trust in the Lord, whether you believe in Buddha, whether you believe in Muhammad, whoever it It doesn't make a difference. See, it doesn't make God less of a God just because you don't want to worship him. It doesn't make him less of a God because you choose not to believe in him. He's still God. He's still the maker of you. He's the creator of everything that you've ever saw, ever will see. That is he. So why not choose to follow Christ? He has the answers to all of your problems. It's a divine assignment. A divine assignment. See, God has given every born believer. He's given us the authority to put the devil out of business on earth. A lot of times we don't take that authority. But right here, right now, who wants to join me? Are you ready? Are you tired of getting beat down and you feel like it's nothing you can do in return? Are you still ready to just carry on every day in the same little routine? Do you ever do anything different? Are you just passing through life or are you living life? If you're afraid to take a chance, if you're afraid to get out and go out there in the world, if you're afraid to be seen, to be heard, then you don't understand the authority that has been given to you. You're not using your authority. You're supposed to be putting the devil out of business every day. You could say that we're on a divine assignment. And that assignment is to bankrupt the devil. I believe that we need to serve notice on that loser, that his days of killing, his days of stealing and destroying are over. Over, I tell you. Hallelujah. Look around you. Are you fed up yet? The truth is, the devil's power over mankind, it came to a screeching halt when Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross at Calvary. See, the word of God declared that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, and then he set the captives free, and then ascended up far above all heavens. Read it for yourself. It's important that you read the word. It's important that you understand what's going on with the word. That's in Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. And then in Colossians, also New Testament, Colossians 2, 15, we know that Jesus said, spoiled principalities and powers. He made a screw of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, Jesus made a public exhibit of the devil in the courts of heaven, publicly. He paid the penalty for the sins of the world, and he redeemed mankind from the curse of the law with what? How did he do it? With his sacrifice, with his own blood, with his own blood. I want to give you a couple more scriptures because we only have a few minutes here on the broadcast tonight. But the word that God has to give to you is going to be a lifetime. See, it's to change your life. If you have to go back in the archives and go back and take notes, whatever you have to do is your responsibility in order to learn how to use the authority that God has given to you to make sure that you get the word. See, it doesn't do you any good to download this to your MP3 if you never listen to it. Just to say that I have a scripture, I have some word from the evangelist. But this is the word that God is just using the evangelist to tell you, to speak to you, him directly, one-on-one with you. Because he wants to make a change in your life. He sees the situation that you're in. He knows your heart's desires. But you are the body of Christ. You are his hands. You need to start working. You said, why does God allow everything to happen? It's because of the choices that we make. Too many of us are sitting down, not out in the fields working hard because we don't feel like it. We feel like people are talking about us. We feel like we're going to be held back. We feel like we're not going to get ahead by doing it anyway. So we lean on our own understanding and our own feelings when we should be taking up the authority that Jesus Christ has given to us. And we should be making the devil say, oh my goodness, that person got up again. They should be afraid every time they see your feet hit the floor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look again at another scripture. So we know now that Jesus redeemed mankind. He redeemed us from the curse, which was the curse of the law. And he redeemed that with his own blood. Again, Galatians 3, 13 and 14, and then again in 29. Now, Deuteronomy 28, 15, and go all the way. It's very important. Read all the way through 68, at least through 68. And Deuteronomy is in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Again, 28, 15, and 68. Now, it says, as far as heaven is concerned, the devil has been stripped of all powers, according to the two scriptures that we just went over. Jesus solved the sin problem. The sin problem has already been solved by Jesus. Jesus solved the failure problem. Jesus solved your fear problem. Your fear of being getting out into the world. Your fear of not measuring up to what everybody else is measuring up to. Your fear of not being accepted. Your fear of the way that you look. Your fear of your education. Jesus has already solved that problem. So he's already solved that depression problem. That's why when it gets you down, it cannot stay on you forever. You find yourself back up again. You said, I was depressed yesterday. I was depressed last week. You may say, I'm depressed right now. But God's going to see you through to tonight, to tomorrow. See, it's because Jesus has already, he's already stripped all of the power away from your depression. He's already stripped all of the power away from your sickness. That's why we bring the request to him. Because we know that he's already stripped the powers away. And he said, by the blood that he shed for us. Remember, he redeemed mankind with his blood. Is that right? So when he did that, then he solved all your sickness problems. With his blood, his stripes. The blood ran down. Those stripes, it covered your sin. It covered your sickness. Now what we have to do is find a way for us to get past flesh and get in the spirit. God is spirit. We have to get in the spirit and let him connect to our spirits. And once we open up our heart and let him connect with our spirit, then we can receive his healing. But as long as we're closed-hearted and we're in the flesh, it's not going to make sense to us because the doctor have told us that this disease is eating up our body. The doctors have told us you're just too old and you're just going to die. It's your time now. But God has the final say. It's not that we're afraid of dying because we have a place prepared for us. But God has something prepared for us to do right here, right now. And we don't want to leave without our work being done. Your work is an important part of your future, your eternity. Your eternity depends on the work that you're doing right here, right now. So why you set yourself back and you've got all comfortable and you decided I'm just ready to die? You're not using the authority God has given to you. Because as long as there's breath in your body, God has something for you to do. I don't care if you're crippled, if you're lame, if you're being abused right now. As long as there is breath in your body, God has something for you to do. And you can't let nothing, no one stop you from doing what you're going to do. If I waited on everyone who promised me that they was going to do something for the ministry, do something in my personal life, do something on my job, if I waited on all of those people who made promises to me, then what they was going to do? I would hinder my relationship with the Lord. But I must go on. I can't let nothing stop me. I must go on. I must take up the authority and bypass that. Because I believe truly in my heart. So I live it in my everyday walk. Because when you truly believe something, you live it. If you believe that you're rich, you start walking like a rich person. If you believe that you're rich, you start talking like a rich person. If you believe that you're educated, you start to speak like an educated person. If you believe that you're healed, you should start walking like a healed person. If you believe that you've been set free from that demonic spirit, you should now start speaking like a set free from a demonic spirit person. Whatever it is that you believe, your life will show it. You may speak one thing, but it's the life that you live is what you believe, because that's what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So you say things and then you say, I'm sorry, but it's in your heart. So when you speak in depression over your life, remember that's just the enemy trying to put back in you what God has already set free. Hallelujah. So when you're speaking over your life that you're broke, remember that it's just the enemy trying to push and shove that back into your spirit, because he knows God has already set you free of it. He knows God already has a different way for you. The devil has been stripped of all his power, sisters, all the powers over your life. Jesus has solved those sin problems. He solved your failure problems, your fear problems, your depression problems, your sickness problems, your poverty, and every problem that will ever be named. If it has a name, Jesus is the name above all names. And he's already solved it. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. When God gave me the divine assignment to bankrupt the devil, he revealed three words: expose, destroy, and restore. Let's say it again. Expose the devil for exactly what he's doing in your life. Expose the devil. You know that you're married and he's got all these pornography thoughts in your mind. Expose the situation. And then once you expose it, it's up to you to make sure that you destroy. Get yourself away from it. I once heard a preacher say, if you have a problem with pornography and you want to get it solved, tell your wife. Said, man, if you have a problem with adultery, tell your wife. She'll help you solve it. Ladies, if you're having a problem in that area, tell your husband. So we're going to make sure, in order for us to bankrupt the devil, we're going to expose the problem. You know, if alcohol is your problem, expose it. Don't lie to yourself. How big of a loser can you be? Don't lie to yourself about it. Expose the problem. Then destroy the problem. Start working on it, doing something about it. And then restore. Let God restore you. Seek after him, run after him every day, every morning, every noon, every night. Run after him, seek after him wholeheartedly. Say, God, I'm after you. I'm your child. You know the problems that I have. You don't have to go and confess them to anybody else, but go to God and confess your problems so he can restore you. Restoration, building back up. He's replacing all of the junk, and he's putting in his anointing. He's putting in creative thoughts in your mind that you never would have thought of. In your spirit, you know it's something working in there and desires that you want to do. And it just won't leave you alone. I don't care what you do in life and how long of a period passes, it's still in there. But you just haven't got that restoration yet to be built up to. You ain't got the final pieces connected for you to go do what God is showing you that you know that you're supposed to be doing. Let God destroy all the evil things that is within you. Take up that authority and then let him restore you. Hallelujah. One more time before we move on. What are we going to do? We're going to expose. Say it with me. You're going to destroy it, and then you're going to restore. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus came to expose the thief. He came to destroy the works of the thief. And then he came to restore everything that the thief has stolen. Why are we only accepting some things back when he said he came to destroy everything that the thief has stolen? Your dreams, your hopes, your marriage. You know, it bothers me from time to time when people get hung up. Now, I mean, when I said people, I mean the ones who say that they love the Lord. And they will quote real quickly for you. You know that the devil is busy. You know, the devil even said to God, he said, I'm going to and fro, and I'm coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And then they hang on that, and they stop right there, and they get stuck on that. And they start living their life, and they start watching all the things that's going on around them, and that's all they can remember. He's out here to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have a topping to that. That's just like baking a beautiful cake for your wedding. But you don't put any toppings on it. You don't put any icing on it. You don't put any, you know, frilly, glittery stuff on there that we girls like to have. No. We just present it just like it is. Well, that's not, well, that wouldn't make us happy, would it? We wouldn't present that to the bride like that. So why are we giving Satan so much credit? We need to put the toppings on top of that verse. Add it on there. Put that in our hearts. Let that be the thing that moves us, that stirs our spirit. And those are the things that we just spoke about. That Jesus came to expose the thief and destroy his works. And then he came to restore everything that the thief has stolen. Everything that the thief has stolen. You must expose the thief. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with people blaming God for what the devil has done. I am fed up of people blaming God for what the devil has done. Jesus exposed the thief and then set the record straight when he said, in John 10:10, he said that the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, at that time that Jesus announced the truth to us, the people had no revelation of the devil. We have to understand that. The people had no revelation of the devil. Hallelujah. They thought that everything good and everything bad came from God. It's some people who still think that today. But when Jesus walked on the scene, he exposed the thief. And he let the world know that if it kills, if it steals, or destroys, it does not, I repeat, come from God. Some people still teach and preach. I've heard preachers preach that unless you're poor, you're not in the will of God. Now, God will get your attention. He's not going to give you anything that will separate you from him. So if you're waiting to hit the lottery and that's going to separate you from him, he's not going to give it to you. If you're waiting to get married and that's going to separate you from him, he will not give it to you. He is not going to give you anything that will separate you from him. That means your healing. That means you're bringing you out of poverty. Anything that will separate you from him. So if you don't give now, he's not going to give you more because he can't trust you with what he's already giving you. Hallelujah. But as far as bringing up on the sickness upon you, it's the choices that you make. And you put yourself in the will of, in the line, and open fire for the enemy to send sickness, to steal your health, to steal and kill your relationships, to destroy your job relationships. But it does not come from God. Our God is good, and he has plans to do you good. Again, right, we have Deuteronomy. Right, Deuteronomy 35. Deuteronomy 30 and 9. And also look at 15. I need you to write again. I need you to go to Psalms. Psalms. It's like the middle of your Bible. Psalms 86 and 5. Also, I need you to look at Psalms 145 and 9. Remember, our time here is limited. But this word is for a lifetime change. This is not for any fame or any fashion. This is to change your life. You're now hearing and receiving the word of God. Hallelujah. So Psalms 145 and 9. And then we're going to go over to the New Testament. Look at James 1 and 17. And then we're going to go to 3 John and do chapter 11. Because God is good, and he has plans to do you good. And you need to know about that. And you need to get that in your spirit, and you need to get that in your heart. You know what? When you really do like something, you want to display it. Whatever it may be, you display it. If you really want some goodness in your heart, just wake up every morning knowing that God is good. That God is good. And that God has plans to do you good. I dare you to just beautify it any way you want to. Put it up on a postcard and make flowers on it or whatever you want to do. But post it up somewhere. Let it be the first thing you see in the morning. God is good. And God has plans to do, and put your name in there. God has plans to do Vaughn good. Hallelujah. That's sowing a seed. So when you get up and you go through the world and something don't go right for you in the day, you already got that seed sown. And if you continually do that, a habit, a pattern will start to work for you. And then before you know it, even when you're not even around that, you will be able to say, God is good. In the midst of that trials, in the midst of that troubles, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, you'll be able to say, and God has plans to do good for me. And then once you settle in your heart and in your mind, then it will free you to launch an attack on the devil. It will free you to send him running. And you'll look back at yourself and say, you know what? I remember a time when this defeated me just like that. But now I'm standing up against the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the question most people have is, how did the devil get to me? Well, sometimes, again, we open the door for the attack of the devil through ignorance or disobedience to God's word. Sometimes it's just through leaning on our own understanding. If God says, wake you up in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and stop and say, God, is it you touching me? Is it you calling me? Be like Samuel. God, I hear you. Is it you? Maybe that's when he wants to have that relationship and talk with you. Maybe he wants to reveal some answers to you. Don't just complain that I wake up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep. Use that time wisely. God wants to answer your questions that you're begging him for. You're praying for the answers. And then when he calls up on you, you say, this is an inopportune time. I'm trying to sleep. Hallelujah. God will give you rest. Just be obedient. So some of the times things happen or the devil was able to attack us because we're disobedient to God's word. The word that he gives us is there to help not just you, but your time here on this earth. You're supposed to be doing something to make changes. We will go back over the scriptures that before we end. For the sake of time, we're going to move on. However, I also know that sometimes the devil has gained access to your life illegally, and he attacks without any cause. How do we know that? We can look at Job 2:3. Hallelujah. But regardless of how that the enemy come about to attack you or how the attack came, the end results are still up to you. So it doesn't matter how he came, whether it was something that you did that allowed him to come in, or he actually, you know, just gained a entrance into your heart illegally, like in Job's case. The result is still the same, and they're up to you. James 4:7 tells us to submit to God. If we submit to God, then we can resist the devil, and then what? He will flee. But how many times do you hear people all during the day, through different situations, I resist you, devil, you must flee. I resist you and you must flee. But you forgot about something. Before you can truly resist the devil and demand that he flee, you must submit to God. What does total submission mean? You must be obedient to God. You must repent of your sin. Mankind is so hung up on not repenting. And they want to go around the repentance wall and think you can walk straight into the inner courts and you can just present yourself to God and just, here's my problem, deal with it, and let's go. God doesn't work like that. And you wonder why nothing ever happens. And you feel a little jittery feeling for a minute, and you think you're on the road, and then nothing happens. Because God doesn't work like that. You must truly submit your heart to God. And only then can you resist the devil and demand that he flee. You must destroy the works of the thief. See, the devil can't work. You must put him in a position where he can't work in your life. He can throw things at you, and he can try, but it won't stick. You have to make sure that he's on disability. The devil being on disability, can you imagine? He can't work in your life. He can't steal your joy. I don't care what happens. You say, I lose my car, I lose my house, I lose my mate. Don't let him steal your joy. And don't you give it over to him. You decide that God is good. And what? And God has plans to do good to me. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:8 says, listen, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Uh-oh. We've got help, people. Hallelujah. We have help. He's given us his authority. The same authority that God gave to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given it to us. And again, 1 John 3:8. It's important that you understand. When you're feeling like you're all alone and no one, and this always happens to me, and I always make the mistakes, and I'm always the one who gets laid off, and I'm always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Remember that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Even the works that he's working on your mind, he's working on your mind, he's working on your mind. He's working on your mind. Hallelujah. And then Hebrews 2:14-15 tells us that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Some people just, they're afraid to do anything. With this could happen, that could happen. They're just afraid to do anything. It's more than being cautious. But God has actually took the sting out of death. And through his death, he might destroy him that had has since the power of death, that is the devil. And then once he destroyed him that had the power of death, and then delivered them, that's us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We've been set free. We were subject to bondage. Now we have been set free, and that's the good news. Hallelujah. That's a good place just to say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus disabled the devil. He made him powerless to affect you. But for thousands of years, the devil has been taking drastic measures to avoid bankruptcy by having going out of business sales. You know what I'm saying? Let me explain it to you. See, as a result, see, the world has been flooded with false advertising that is specifically designed to trap unsuspecting customers into buying bags of the devil's goods. He tell you, well, come on. This is a high like you will never, ever get again. Come on. All of the kids, all the cool kids are having sex. Come on, everyone steals from the office. Come on, man, everyone cheats on their wife. Why are you so interested running to the going out of business sale? Because he knows that this world is coming to an end, and it's almost over, and he's going out of business. So it's his job to get to the world to advertise false advertisement, even through people that we think are leaders, false advertisement that, again, is specifically designed to get your attention to the sale. If lust is your attention, then that's what he's going to throw in your way. You said lust may not be mine. Whatever it is specifically designed for you to trap you and to come and bind the bags of goodies. But this tactic should be ineffective against those that know the Word of God, that's living the Word of God. It should be ineffective towards you. You should be able, after a while, to say, no, I know this trick. No, I may have felt for that once, but I know that's not of God. I don't care how beautiful she is. I don't care how handsome and strong that he is. I know the way that I'm feeling when I'm around this man, that is not of God. I have a husband at home. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this on the job. I know that is not of God. So his tricks after a while should be ineffective to us, because what? We not only know the Word of God, but we're living it. It's down inside of us. And we follow Jesus' examples to walk with God. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power. Who went about doing good? Who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil? So he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Every believer has a responsibility to put the devil out of business by doing good. By doing good and healing all that are oppressed by the devil. So you're a believer? When is the last thing you have done good? What is the last time have you ever spoke healing words over somebody's body? When is the last time that you tried to heal the oppressed, the ones that were oppressed of the devil? Are you able to touch yourself? Think about what Jesus said in Luke 13:16. It says, and ought not this woman be a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound? Lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on this Sabbath day. On this Sabbath day. People said, no, you can't do that on the Sabbath. God's covenant promise to heal his children has always been available. Always been available. Let me just say that again. God's covenant promise to heal his children has always been available, even in Exodus 15:26 and 23, and again in 25. And then even we look in Deuteronomy 7 and 15, Psalms 103 and 3, all examples of God's covenant promise to heal his children. Just as Jesus expected the Jewish leaders of that day to destroy the works of the devil, he expects it of you too. He expects it of me too. He said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And then whatsoever that thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16:19. All sisters and brothers, we ought to be enforcing God's word in the earth. We ought to be loosing people from bondage of the devil and destroying his works. Now, by you hearing this word, whenever you're hearing it, you're responsible for this word. So God is going to put that opportunity to you. He's going to give you the opportunity. Will you take your position for your divine assignment? Will you take your position and enforce God's word in this earth? Will you take your divine assignment position and start to loosen people from the bondage of the devil? Will you start to destroy the devil's work? It's our responsibility. It is to believe God's word and captivate every thought that rises up against its promises to us. The word says that, "For though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our own warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare is not physical." We know that, right? It's not physical, but it's weapons of flesh and blood. But they are mighty because God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as we, arguments and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and then we lead every thought and purpose away, captive in the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. That's in the Amplified Bible. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We sing the song. As a believer, you have the authority to use the name of Jesus to bind the devil from stealing what belongs to you. Faith in his word will destroy every stronghold and overthrow the devil's arguments, overthrow the devil's theories, overthrow the devil's reasoning that may say to you, your family will never be saved. Or you'll never be used by God. God's never going to use you. But overthrow the things that say sickness runs in your family. You know you're going to be sick. Sickness runs in your family. God's word will overthrow when the devil start talking stuff about no one cares about you. God's word overpowers that, will give you the truth. When the devil starts telling you things like you'll never be debt free, your mama struggled, your mother struggled, you'll never be set free. You'll never be set free from debt. Or when you're, he tells you that you will never recover from this attack of the enemy. I've got your mind all wrapped up, and you'll never come from under it. You got to take a stand against thoughts of lack. You got to take a stand against thoughts of failure. And how do you do that? By boldly declaring God's promises of abundance and victory. It's not good enough for you to just tell yourself about God's promises and his victory and his abundance. You got to boldly tell the world about God's promises. You got to boldly tell the world about his victories. That's when you're going to see chains loose off of you. That's when you're going to see breakthroughs in your life, strongholds being pulled down. You got to take a stand. I am of God and overcome all things by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of what my testimony. Just repeat that after me. I am of God and overcome all things by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4 and Revelation 12:11. Greater is he that is in me than any repossession. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Surely Jesus has borne my griefs. Surely he's borne my sorrows. Surely he has borne my pain. And I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. I just don't say it, but I believe it. Isaiah 53:4-5 tells us. And 1 Peter 2:24. I know we have a lot of scriptures tonight, but again, this is something that you need to find a way to sow your seed and get it deep inside of you. This is God's word. He don't want you to just take Evangelist Vaughn's word. He wants you to search his word out. I'm giving you the scriptures. All you got to do is write them down and go back and read them. Ask God to reveal the word to you. He says, I have given, and it should be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. I submit to God and I resist the devil. Therefore, he will flee from me in Jesus' name. I love that verse. I just love the fact that when I get to the press that people are doing wrong or not giving what they should be giving, God only gives to me for me to give to his children. He'll take care of me if I take care of his. So that's why I give. That's why I give my time. That's why I give my love. That's why I work extra hard at whatever I do, because it says that I have given, and it shall be given unto me. But how is it going to be given back to me? I just love this. It just thrills my soul. It says it shall be given back to me. Good measure. Pressed down. That means good measure. I ain't got to worry about, you know, how they're going to give it to me. My friends may not give it back to me. My family may give it to me in the wrong way, but he said, I'm going to give you good measure. And then I'm going to press that all the way down to make room for more. And then I'm going to shake all that together, and I'm going to give more good measure until it's just running over. And then men shall give unto my bosom. It didn't say I have to go beg them for it, but they should just give unto my bosom. Why? Because I'm a giver. And then I submit myself to God. So now that I submit myself to God, I can resist the devil, and he has no choice. Therefore, he will flee from me, and where? In the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Evangelist Vaughn. Not in the name of the bishop, but in the name of Jesus, he will flee. Hallelujah. That's how you bankrupt the devil. Declaring God's word strips the devil of every bit of power over your life. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In my closing, as we restore everything that the thief has stolen, we expose, we destroyed, and now let's restore. Hallelujah. You don't want to just expose it and then destroy it and then just leave yourself there, because the word said that he will give back everything that's been taken from you, right? So let's restore everything that the thief has stolen. Let's look at Proverbs 6:31. It declares that if the thief is found, then he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. I especially like the last part of that verse. I have served notice on the devil to turn over all of the substance of his house, because the wealth of the sinner is laid up for who? The just. Proverbs 13:22. all glory. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I'm the just. I'm the just. And according to the American Heritage Dictionary, the word bankrupt is used as a debtor that, upon voluntary petition, or one invoked by the debtor's creditors, is judged legally insolvent. The debtor's remaining property is then administered for the creditors or is distributed amongst them. So everything that the devil has was stolen from God and his children. You hear that? Everything that the devil has was stolen from God and his children. Jesus exposed the thief, and then he destroyed his power to keep what rightfully belongs to you and me. That's why we can stand in full assurance to get all the substance of his house. After all, Jesus has the keys to his front door, hell, in Revelation 1 and 18. And then he has the keys to his retirement home, the bottomless pit. That's in Revelation 20, 1 and 3. Very important that you understand what this authority is, what is entailed in the authority. Hallelujah. One more time. Jesus has the keys to the front door of hell. In Revelations 1 and 18, it tells us that. And then he has the keys to the devil's retirement home. We're not going to let him just retire. The retirement home, the bottomless pit. That's in Revelations 20, 1 and 3. God's promises of restoration of all things to God's children must be fulfilled before God can send Jesus Christ back to earth. Hallelujah. Again, God's promises of restoration of all things to God's children must be fulfilled before God can send Jesus Christ back to earth. The way that is, what are you talking about? How do you know that? Well, it's clearly stated in Acts 3, 19 through 21, and again 25 and 26. Let's read a little bit in our closing. In our closing, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive or retain until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." God hasn't changed his mind. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Upon you first God, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." God has not changed his mind. God still has all of the blessings. And he wants to make sure that God's children receive everything, all things that were stolen from you. God's promise of restoration for you has not changed. God needs us to stand our ground. He needs us to defy the lies of the devil. He needs us to boldly believe his word. The thief has been exposed, people. The thief has been destroyed. Don't be afraid. God's already solved your fear problem. Don't be depressed. God has already solved your depression problem. Hallelujah. You don't have to walk around living in sin when you know what's wrong is wrong. Even though the world says what's wrong used to be wrong is right now. God's already solved. Jesus has solved your sin problem. Don't walk around living a life of a failure. Jesus has already solved your failure problem. He's already solved your sickness problem. Hallelujah. your poverty problem, and every problem that will ever be named has to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. Every problem that will ever become in your life that has a name has to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. My sisters and brothers, I urge you to stand up. Take a stand. Stand your ground. Defy the lies of the devil. Boldly believe his word. The thief has been exposed. He's been destroyed, and he must restore all that he has stolen. It's time for you to get your stuff back. We have a divine assignment to bankrupt the devil. We have a divine assignment to bankrupt the devil. Take your stuff back. Take your kids back. Stop introducing them to the world and introduce them to God. Take your position back in that job. Go back in there and do the right thing. You may can't get back into place there. Make sure in your next one you do the best that you can do. And everywhere you go, boldly stand out and declare the word of the Lord. God is worthy of your praise. You have a divine assignment. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Every day somebody's moving on, going on home. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. God has made a way for you to break through the limits of this world and have a life with unlimited possibilities. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sin by shedding his blood on the cross. And when you open up your heart to personally accept Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins, God gives you a brand new life. A life filled with new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things, a life of unlimited possibilities. It's that simple. Jesus did all the work. All you have to do is accept him. Confess your sins. His work by believing with your heart and then confessing with your mouth. Romans 10:9-9. You can pray a prayer with me like this. You're ready. I think you're ready to come on. Come into the kingdom. Let's start living for the Lord. Just repeat the prayer. It's a simple prayer. To a friend that will never leave you, that will never disappoint you or hurt you. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. I ask you now to come into my heart and just make a change in me right now. And I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my life right now and receive me into the family of God. In your name, I pray. And that's it. It's just that simple. Confess your sins. Believe in your heart. And just accept him. Congratulations if you just prayed that prayer. You are a new creature in Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament, it tells us that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that means you have a brand new life with Jesus Christ to look forward to. Start looking, get anticipating. Start anticipating new things. Hallelujah. Starting right now, you've been filled with unlimited possibilities. Your slate is clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and because of his love for you. If you prayed this prayer, I would love to hear of your choices to just accept God into your life. If there's anything I can help you with, I'm more than welcome. I love praying. That's what I'm called to do. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for all of the hearers and the doers of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we've done it again. We have learned. We've come to the end of another show. God blesses all over our lives. We have a job to do now. We can't just take the word and sit on it. We have a job to do. So may this point in your life be a new point in your life forever and evermore. Spread the word on. Spread the word on. I have a couple announcements. First, we would like to continue to be praying for the Sanchez family and the loss of their grandfather. Continually, God is your comforter, and we're praying for you. Know that we love you. We're also praying for our Women in Power founder and visionary, Dr. Ineta J. Cooper, as they had lost a family member this week. God bless and keep you, and we're praying for you, and we love you dearly. God bless you. He will, you know he's there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God bless you. And our prayer for tonight also includes over the family of Linda Williams and her family, and for Linda Chavez and her family. We also praying for the ministry of Women in Power, Teen in Power, and Men in Power. As far as our announcements, we do have the San Antonio's first chapter meeting for the In Power Ministries. That's going to be this Saturday, August 7th at 3 o'clock, and that is going to be at the Maverick Library, which is located at 8700 Mystic Park here in San Antonio, Texas. That is right off of Bandera, a little past Heitner. If you're needing directions, feel free to locate or call 210-325-3894. Again, that is 210-325-3894. We do have our sponsor that I am with it that does have a lot of nice items that is going to be out there at a very, very, believe me, nice, cheap, cheap price. You don't want to miss that. And 50% of all of the proceeds, of course, will be donated to the ministries. So God bless you and keep you. Again, that is this Saturday, August 7th, 2010 at 3 o'clock p.m., Maverick Library, 8700 Mystic Park, here in the great city of San Antonio, Texas. And we do, I will be bringing the word, unleash the power of God in you. So don't miss out on that. God bless you, because our mission again is to save souls. Our mission again is to save souls. We're also working on our conference that's going to be for our Region 1 of the In Power Ministries that will be held here in San Antonio in October. And we're looking to have you come from near and far just to hear what the word has for you. That's going to be another great thing. So if you are in the San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Houston, even if you're in the Louisiana areas, and you are wanting to hear the word of God, we pray that God leads you in our direction, that you come out and join us. Or if you just want to be a part of the ministry, and that is just to have an open relationship with men, women, your kids, to have a relationship with Teen in Power, where you can receive prayer on daily basis or whatever it may be, we ask you to just give us a call. Again, that number is 210-325-3894, or you can leave me an email message at walkwithmegod@aol.com. It doesn't matter what state you're in. The In Power is an international ministry, and we are there all for everyone. So I can get you in touch with whoever it is in your state or your city. Again, my name is Evangelist Von Dumas, and I say thank you. God bless you. And before we leave, we just want to just praise him on our way out. Just give him praise on our way out and just a little bit of consecrating us, because we want to remember after God has destroyed, he's exposed and destroyed, and then we want him to fill us back up and restore us, that restoration. And it comes from him just consecrating us. Hallelujah. So God bless you and keep you until we forget. We love you at Try It Anointed Ministry.
Thy will, thy will, come. corner to thy will. This is a flowing ministry tonight. It ain't about no who's who and who you are and where you come from. Tonight is a night of surrendering. Oh, come on, somebody open up your mouth and say, consecrate
me.
Consecrate.
Yes, Lord.
Me, Lord. Consecrate. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Me to do thy will, thy will, thy will. Consecrate. Me.
May God consecrate you to do his will. In Jesus' name, good night. God is Lord. Bye-bye.